I don't know who paid for what.
Okay, we continue the Rambam. Money. We're in Hilchas Tmidim Musaf and Perek Beis Halacha Vav, Chapter 2, Law 6. Yeah. Okay, so after discussing the mitzvah of keeping a fire on at all times, the next mitzvah, the opposite is Hamechabe Eish HaMizbech. If anybody extinguishes any of the fire on the Mizbeach, the one that's supposed to stay all the time, loiki galash, shenemers, it says, lo sichbe, you shall not extinguish. Afilu gacheles achas, even one coal gets extinguished, your chayiv.
Oh boy.
Vafilu horida me'ala Mizbeach, even if you take it off the Mizbeach, and then vechiba, and then extinguish it.
Okay,
still you get low, okay, you're lashed. However, there's an interesting exception, because this was from the fire, and you essentially reduced the flame from that eternal fire. Aval eish machta ve'eish menorah. So when you also need to take fire off of the mizbeach, because you're going to need it to light, use it as the coals for the incense offering. And you're also going to need sometimes light fire to light the menorah. So now, you've taken it off the mizbech for those purposes. Sheikhina ba mizbech lahadlik man, that you prepared it from the mizbech to light either the ketores or to light the menorah. Afal pi shekiba osam barosha mizbech, even though you may extinguish them on top of the mizbech. But once they've been designated for the ketores and for the menorah, potur, you will not get lashed for extinguishing them. Why? Sharei nit kol a mitzvah acheres. It already was shifted over for another mitzvah. It no longer was serving the purpose of being on the mizbech to light the mizbech. Veinani koreba, and we cannot call such a coal eish hamizbeach, the fire of the mizbech, because it was already taken away from the Mizbech for the purposes of keeping the Mizbech fire going on over there. All right. Now, we're going to start with the first fire. I think I showed you the picture last time. I showed you
the three fires last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't have matches. How did they start a fire?
I don't know. You ask the Boy Scouts.
Oh, they did. Boy Scouts.
You ask the Boy Scouts.
Did they carry some kind of fire holder thing? Like a
I don't know. However they made fires. However they made fires in those days. Rub two sticks together, use a rock. I don't know. I don't know. It's immaterial. Zion. Kemishasader atse marocha gedola. When you are arranging the big fire, okay. Misadra b'mizrach ha-mizbeach. First of all, it's organized on the eastern side of the mizbeach. To be more precise, the southeastern side of the mizbeach, because the kevesh is the south. This is west, east, north. Here's the maroch over here, so it's going to be on the east side, south. All right, that's the maroch. Verosh hagz. Okay. Vereva. And it should be evident that you begin to arrange the logs from the east. So you're starting it. It looks like when anybody looks at the entire setup, it sees you set it up from the east, and you'll see what's the idea there. Verevach hoya bein hagzarim, and there was space in between the logs that were there. The Rambam omits as well. Not only there's space between the logs, but there was like a little hollow window on the east side, because the wind would blow more from the east, and that would make the flame go up higher for that. Okay? Now, how far across did the logs go, going west? Veroshag Zerma Pnimim, and the tips of the logs on the inside, meaning on the west side, Ayanogim Badeshin Sheba Emsa, would come up to the pile of the ash that was in the middle of the Mizbeach,
right there,
which is called the tapuach, the apple. Now, this picture is not 100% accurate, but the wood would come close to the west side. The wood would be far enough across that it would be almost juxtaposed to where the tapuach was over there. In other words, so it wasn't just a little bit over here, right, very far away from the tapuach. It didn't necessarily be touching the tapuach, but the wood was going out cross enough that it was extremely close to the tapuach. Okay, so that was the big flame. And that's where all the karbonos were burnt. Ches. Va'achar shemesadam racha gadol, after they arranged the big fire, choser ubore atse te'ene yof, and then they would go and they would find for themselves, select for themselves, wood that came from fig trees that were very nice, and there were others types of wood as well. They would arrange a second fire, and that was the fire from which you would take coals for the Ketores offering. Keneged Karen Maravis Dromis, which would be on the southwest side of the Mizbeach. Meshucha Mina Karen, drawn away from the corner, Klapet Sofen, towards the north. Arba Amas. Four amas.
Right there.
So it's this smaller fire over here, and it's four amas away from the southern corner over there.
So obviously there. Fig tree wood makes better coals.
Yeah, that was the idea.
If it smells better.
Yep. No, it doesn't have to smell at all. No. That's not the purpose. You need coals.
Incense has its own smell. These are coals. Good coals. You need good coals.
Okay, fine. Uba, kemo, and how much wood would you need? You need enough wood that could create Chomesh Se'in Gecholim, five saw of coals, because that's the amount of coals you'd need for two times to make the Ketores in the morning and in the afternoon. So if you have a certain amount of wood that produces five saw of coals, that's how much wood you put.
40 liters.
Okay. U'b'Shabbos, Oysen Ba'Kamosh Shmona Se'in Gecholim. On Shabbos, you need to create an extra three saw of coals for a total of eight coals. Ramari said this very recently. Because there was things that had to be burnt on this fire specifically with the two spoonfuls of frankincense that was with the showbreads, and that was burnt on Shabbos. You needed three extra saw of coals to burn the two spoonfuls of the frankincense. So that's the second fire. Tess. Marocha Shlishis, there was a third fire, Shelkiyama Esh, to maintain a fire. Also, so you can make it Bachol Mokom Shir Sin Mizbeach, any place you want, where else in the Mizbeach. Umatzitz Basa Esh, and you would light there a fire. And that would be the fire that was meant to always be lit at all times. Lo Yatzitz Esh Lamata, you wouldn't kindle that fire at the bottom, and the Yalosom Mizbeach, and bring it up to the top. No. But you would light the fire on top of the Mizbeach Shenemeris. It says, "Ve'esh ha-Mizbeach tukadbo," and the fire of the Mizbeach should be lit on it. Mikan, from here we learn, "Lahatzosa shlotia elabarosha shel Mizbeach," that the lighting should be on top of the Mizbeach. So those were the three fires, as we see in the picture over here.
The third one never went out, right?
That's supposedly.
So why would you light it if it never went out?
You have to light it first.
It has to be initially
and
lit once.
It has to be lit once.
5 years ago, 20 years
doesn't
ago,
matter.
Whatever.
And if it would ever go out, you'd have to light it again.
You have to light it again.
Maybe in the second base, maybe it went out.
But the first one, it didn't.
All right, moving on. We finished that. Now we're sort of going backwards. Keep going backwards over here. We already talked about when we shech the korban, and then we said arranging the wood, which is earlier than that, and now we're going even earlier than that, and halacha yud is the trumas hadeshen, is lifting up, or literally tithing, the ash.
Did we do tet?
Yes.
We did tet. Oh, you're right. Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay, good. Sorry.
Okay, yud. Harumas hadeshen, the lifting up of the ash, or the literally tithing of the ash, because we'll see, you don't have to remove all the ash all the time. It's another positive mitzvah to remove some of the ash from the mizbech that's been accumulating. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Veheirim es hadesh," and you will lift up or tithe the ash. Vehi avoda meavoda sakuna. It is one of the services of the kohen. It had to be done by a kohen. But very interesting, what kind of clothing was used over here? Obviously, this was a very dirty job.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, it was an avod of the kohen. On the other hand, you didn't want to get the kohanic clothing dirty. So what do we do? It's sort of a compromise. Ubigde kahuna shatarim bahemadesh, and the clothing of the kohen, who would be the one to take away the ash, you pachusim min habagodim, would be of less value of the garment shemishamish from bishar avodos. They did other avodos in the basement, let's say slaughtering the animals, bringing the blood, sprinkling whatever. It was a lesser quality You know, it could have been, let's say, a used garment, one that's already been a little dirtier. But it had to be a Kohen garment, though. Shenemeris, it says, Ufashat es begodov, he would remove his regular Kohen clothing, Velovash begodim acherim, and would put on other clothing, Verim es adesh, and he would lift up the ash. However, but Ein Omarchem, what it meant when it said acherim, other clothing, it doesn't mean to say shiobig dechol, they were mundane clothes. No. El shubchusi min arishonim, just less valuable than the first kind, but they were Kohanic garb. So now why don't we just do regular garb? The answer is, of golden rule, v'sheinat derech eretz shiim zokos l'rabo, it's not a proper manners to pour a cup of wine to your master, baba godim, with the very same clothes, shebishul behem keder l'rabo, that you were cooking a pot of food that gets sooty and dirty for the master. When you're in the kitchen and you're cleaning, you use a lesser quality of clothes. When you're serving him wine, you put on nicer clothes. So the same thing, as we're removing the ashes, that's like cooking in the kitchen.
Right.
You have a lesser quality of Kohanic garb. But now when you're doing other much more prestigious avodos, then you would switch into other garments for that.
So after Kabbana, should we switch our clothes?
No, we don't get dirty when we're doing our prayers. We don't have to worry about that. But you should maybe wear nicer clothes for davening, because that is avodah. During the rest of the time, you don't have to have such nice clothes.
But for davening.
Okay, now, Yudalef. Amosai tarmin adesh mechalim. What time do we remove the ash every day? That's got to be earlier. So the Rambam says, Meshiyale amud ha-shachar. Once the morning pillar comes up. Okay, so that's still about 72 minutes before sunrise.
Yeah.
So you're cleaning that up. You got to arrange the wood, and then
it's still dark before
the shechita of the korban tamid, which is a little bit before sunrise.
Can I ask you a question?
In a minute, uberagolim, and on a holiday where it seems to be a much busier day, and there's just a lot more tumult going on, a lot of balabatim around there.
They need
to speak to kohanim, so we got to get an earlier start. Even though they couldn't bring any korbanos any earlier in the day, but there probably are a lot of anxious Yisraelim. Want to bring korbanos, and you got to talk to the kohen. Kohens would have to inspect things. It was a busier morning, so mitchila shlish emtsoi shalayla. They would start this cleaning of the ash from the beginning of the middle third of the night. So, just to give you some idea, let's say on Yontav is usually it's an equal amount of sunlight and darkness. So let's say sunset is 6 p.m. and sunrise is 6 a.m.
Okay.
Let's just say, make it easy. So we divide it into three parts. It's 4-hour parts. So the first part is 4 hours, ends at 10 p.m. And now we're talking about the beginning of the middle third of the night. So they would begin at 10 p.m. Right? That's the beginning. Tchilas shlish emtsoi shalalayla. The beginning of the middle third of the night. Okay? Because there was a lot going on. Ubiyom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, where there was not as much going on.
I don't think it's a lot of...
But still there was necessities over there. Because, no, the problem was the Kohen Gadol did all the avodah. We didn't want to wear him out. He did everything, even cleaning the ash and everything. So therefore, we'd space out the avodah so he could rest. So therefore, Yom HaKippurim HaChatzos, he would start at midnight, Chatzos, at 12 o'clock. And then, so, because you didn't really, if anything, there was less korbanos on Yom Kippur. So you figure you could go on all the way to Talmud HaShachar. No, McCoy's not sleeping anyway the whole time.
No, he's not.
Therefore, let's give him a little work now. He can rest, not sleep, but rest from the vigorous labor. Give him some time over there. Okay, now we have to get to the actual separating of the ash, taking the ash. So, Kate Satormim, how was this avoda of removing the ash? So first it was with a lottery system. And therefore, if it's a lottery system, they couldn't waste a lot of time once the person was chosen. So anybody who wanted to do this avoda would have to go to the mikvah and change into Kohanic clothing so that when he was picked, he could immediately get to the job.
Yeah, quickly.
So therefore, so you're going to see it's certain things are backwards a little bit. Mishano Zochalichom, the one who wins the lottery to be able to separate the ash, Tovel has already gone to the mikvah.
Done.
Velo veish bigdei harama, and has already put on clothes. clothes to make the switch to lift up the ash.
The ash clothes.
Right, the ash clothes. It would seem that all the Kohanim put on those types of clothes.
No, it says here that they would wear their ordinary stuff, and then at the last second.
What?
Chosen. They put on their ordinary.
Well, I don't know. My commentary says before they were in the Pius, they were wearing their Kohanic clothing. They wore the Big Day Kahuna.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You said the dirty.
Okay, then I guess he would change into it. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Only one of them, yeah.
Okay, good. Velove speak the harama, and then umekadesh yadavaraglov, and then he'd have to wash his hands and feet in the basin, because that is an avoda. You got to wash your hands. Now he went by himself alone first, and it was kind of dark. Velmerlo and all the Kohanim would remind him, "He's zor, be careful. Shematika bekli, don't touch the shovel that's necessary to clean out the ash." Until you've washed your hands and feet. Even though he knows he's supposed to do that, but he might forget. Remember, it's very exciting.
Exciting.
You know,
chosen.
It could be one time in a lifetime for all you know.
Whoa.
So he could be so anxious, he might forget what to do. So they remind him, wait, wait, remember, wash your hands before you do it, because nobody would be over there, just him. Now, then he took a pan, vishel kesef, it was made out of silver, knotted gold. Why? Because if you're putting it in the ash, it will damage the gold, so we don't want to damage the silver.
No, the gold, ice, the gold, so use silver.
We don't want to damage the gold, so we want to use the silver, that's what I meant. And the spot where that shovel was overnight for him to pick up was in a kitty corner, Ben Kevesh Lamizbech, between the ramp and the altar. I'll point in a minute. Ben Marovish Kevesh, west of the ramp. So if you take a look over here at any one of these fine ramps over here, you got the altar, you have the ramp.
Yeah.
Okay. So see this little line over here?
Yeah.
So in this little kitty corner over here was where the shovel was. Okay? And that was a good place because then he would go right up the ramp and he would start cleaning up. So that's where it was. Here was the kior. And this might may not be precisely where it was, but the washing basin was here. This is where the shovel was. So remember in the lishka over here, one of the lishkas over here, so he'd go all by himself and be in this spot over here, wash his hands, then go pick up the shovel, then he'd go up the ramp and get what he needs to get.
Can I ask my question now?
Yes.
So we're only talking about the tapuah, removing the ash from there, right? Right now? When he's using the shovel?
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the ash of
the individual fires?
The fire. The big fire.
The big guy.
So that's what about removing the ash from the other three?
That's going to be another thing. That's another thing we have to get to.
Right.
All in due time is all going to come.
Where's the
ash? We're going to get to it. That's if you let me read it.
And they all lived happily ever after.
You know, that's what the Rambam's here for, to tell us everything that's there. All right? Now he takes that shovel. He goes to the top of his mizbech. He's going to make a little bit of a right turn. And now he goes to the big fire that went out. It's out now. There's only coals over there.
Oh, boy.
Umefana es hagecholim elechvev. He pushes aside some of the coals this way and that way. Vecholset mina gecholim shnis aklu belevesh. Now he scoops out from the bottom the coals that really got really were at the heart of the fire. And you got some real coals with lots of ash there. And now he takes from there. The idea was not to take the whole thing. He just takes the first bit. V'yored l'matal arts. Now he goes down the ramp back to planet Earth. And he gets down to the ramp. He's going to make two left turns. Remember, if he's down the ramp, he's at the middle of the ramp. So he's going to want to end up on the east side of the ramp. So he takes a left turn, walks the remainder part of the ramp at the bottom, going, he's south already. Now he's going east, going along the ramp. They'll make another left turn, going north, going next to the ramp. So that's what it says. First, he's going down, facing, he turns his face now, and he's facing it north. That's after already making the left turn off the ramp, and now the left turn going north. Umahalech Ba'ores, he's walking on the ground, Lemizrach HaKevesh, to the east of the ramp, approximately kamo eser amos klapei atzafon, about 10 amos going north. The kevish was, I believe, 32 amos. So it's going about a third of the way against the kevish. I'll show it in a minute. Vitzover es hakecholim, and then he piles up those coals, shechosa, that he had scooped up, agabe aritzpa, on the ground, rachok min hakevish, at a distance east of the ramp, shlosha tvachim, three tvachim. So now let me show it to you here. Let's say this picture over here.
Okay.
So here was the mizbeach. He went down the ramp.
Turned left.
Left turn over here. Left turn over here. What did we say? Three amos or four amos away to the left, to the east of it. What did we say it was? Three tvachim, rather.
Yeah.
So three tvachim east of the kevesh, and then 10 amos for it. And there you see a little black dot over there.
Yeah, there it is.
That's the dot. That's where he put those coals or that ash, right over there.
Right there.
And that's a place where a number of other things went as well. What else was over there? That was B'makom Shenoshni Muras Ha'of.
Yeah.
It's the same place where they would bring
a
bird that was an Olas Ha'of. Its intestines were put there.
Tossed.
And from the top of the Mizbeach, as we said, the where he's up, he's up over here. He has to give it a good toss.
It's a gizzard toss.
To get it right into that spot over there. That's one thing else that went over there.
Three-pointer.
Also, V'dishon ha-mizbeach ha-pnim ha-menor, and also those who cleaned out the inner altar, the golden altar for the Ketores. There was ash over there, coals. Va-menorah, and also the menorah that had to get cleaned up, went over there as well.
These are cold coals, right? There's no warm coals.
I don't know if it's warm or not.
Well,
it depends.
If it's hot, then they're going to burn the bodies of the bird.
No, the bird is, this is a different
time. The gizzards
time.
Of a bird are
a
thrown much later on in the day.
This
the bird's
is first thing
dead.
In the morning.
The bird's dead. He's been killed.
So
we just toss the gizzards into that spot.
So they're going to clean the spot out every day and take all
the that's another thing. I'm not into housekeeping. I'm just getting to what they had to do over there. We'll see. There was a certain miracles that happened over there, as you'll see in 1 minute.
Yeah, sure.
V'chasiyah zu shechosa b'machta, and also this, the scooping that they scooped up with the pan, umorid l'ritzpa, they put it down on the ground, ezel the next mizbeach, and the rabbi said they would leave it there, and it miraculously was absorbed into the ground.
Whoa.
And Rambam doesn't say that, but the Gemara says that.
The coals were absorbed in the ground.
Whatever was there.
Whatever got left there.
The gizzards, too.
Everything
you name
absorbed.
It.
He a mitzvah shall kol hayom. This was the daily mitzvah. So the Kohen, who was the winner, he got to do the first thing. But obviously, that wasn't everything that was either mizbech. There was a lot of other stuff all around all the mizbechos. There's a lot of garbage over there. So now comes the whole crew comes. Yud Gimel. Ach ha-shiyorat zeshetarim. Once the first fellow has descended from the ramp, who takes this, the first initial scooping.
Are they running now?
Ratzim echavakam. The brothers, his brotherly kohanim. They're running now. To finish the job, because these were anybody's. My commentary here says all those who were in the lottery and they lost, and they all went to the mikvah, and they did not win that. So therefore, it went to a lot of other people.
So they didn't have to wait at the
kiyor. Unekachin yedeim v'ragleim, and they ran to wash their hands and feet at the kiyor, because it's also a vota,
b'mehera,
very quickly. And now they take various equipment. V'notlin es hamagrefos, they would take large pitchforks, ves atzinoras, and types of shovels. V'olin l'rosh ha'mizbeach, they'd come to the top of the mizbeach, the whole cleaning crew. V'chol evarei ha'olos ve'morei ha'korbanos, sheloni snaklu kol alayla, and any of the body limbs of the korban olos, or any of the fats of other karbanas that did not get thoroughly consumed throughout the night for whatever reason. Remember, they've already been pushed off of that main mizbeach. Now, machzir no sol etzenes, so we bring them to the sides of the mizbeach, because we have to clean out all the wood first.
Yeah.
There's not enough room on the sides, on the top of the mizbeach, Sodrin osoba kevish kenega sovif. They would arrange it at the ramp that's opposite by the sovif. The sovif was the middle part that was jutting out around the mizbech. Right. Some say also it was on the sovif. If it was a lot of extra body parts that just weren't consumed, they had to move them out of the way. And now they got to clean up all the ash and all the coals and everything. And then they would shovel all the ash and the coals with their utensils from all the sides of Mizbeach. And now what did they do with all that? They didn't take it down. We parted the large pile of that big black apple in the middle. The Gorfin. Now, then that so everything that was left over went into that big pile. Then it's a machlok, is exactly how often the next thing happened. Vigorfi, now he got that pile, was getting big too. So now we got rid of that pile.
The pile's not just ash, it's body parts too, right?
No. The body parts would all go back on the Mizbeach. Once you relight the Mizbeach, we now burn all the body parts that are not consumed. The only thing that goes on that tapuach is ash. Ash and coals, whatever, broke up. It's all going to turn into ash very easily. Okay, so now Vigorfin Oso Hareba Bifsachter. Now we would shovel out from that pile into a utensil called the Psachter. Psachter was a round utensil, had a volume that held lesech. It's a large utensil that could hold a lesech. A lesech was a volume of 15 saw, which was a half a kor. So it's quite a large utensil. They'd fill it up with that. Umoridino solamata. And they would take it down the ramp.
So they
now, this lesech
thing
was very large.
You have
so
a
there was
of it?
In the other book that I did not bring. So imagine a large lamp-like pot. There'd be a chain on one side, a chain on the other. They'd fill it up at the top of the Mizbeach, and then two Kohanim, one would pull it down the ramp, the other one would hold it, it wouldn't fly over.
That wouldn't be good.
And then it would take it all the way down the ramp, and we'll see in a minute where it's all going to go.
Just drag it because he couldn't lift
it? So it's a machlok. Yeah, it's very heavy. It was very heavy. It's a lot of ash. It was a very, very big amount, and it was a lot. So they needed, it was a two-man job. According to many opinions, it was a daily activity. Ravid says it was a daily activity. Rashi and Tosfos and others say it was not done every day, only when there was a lot of that, and it seems that is the Rambam's opinion as well. So according to that opinion, when it was needed.
Yeah.
Okay, and then umaridin osolamata, you would bring it down below, and this is called dishun hamizbeach, as opposed to trumas hadeshen. So Trumas HaDeshen was the first Kohen who would scoop out a
the
little
morning
bit
man, yeah,
and take it down. This was the next one was called Dishun HaMizbeach. And now, Ubaragolim, and on the holidays, when there was a lot of animals and a lot of ash and a lot of that stuff, so they wouldn't take it down anyway. They'd allow that big apple to be big and big and big in the Mizbeach. Why? It was a beautification of the Mizbeach because it shows how many korbanos people wanted to bring over there. They give all kinds of descriptions of how much was going on over there. They said the Kohanim would be up to their armpits in blood, whatever that means. And remember, that means there were a lot of korbanos. There was a lot of ash. And Yontif, everybody did want to see, look how great the Jewish people are. Okay, they would always clean it out when it was absolutely necessary, as we will see.
Where did they put that big shissel with the...
That goes out to the next halacha.
We're going to... Well, outside, yeah, but we're gonna stop it for tonight.
Inside the city.
And we'll continue this exciting discussion tomorrow.
Because it's coming.